Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I prepare a sermon, I like to take side trips. I end up chasing down rabbit holes and spending time, oftentimes, reading things and getting into nooks and crannies that don't ever see the light of day again. But I like chasing the rabbit holes. And, for example, in the days of Jesus, did you know there was only one source of fresh water in Jerusalem? It came from the spring of Gihon, located just outside the north side of the city. The city protected it with a set of towers. About 800 years before Jesus was born, King Hezekiah decided they needed a more accessible way to get the water in the city. And he built a tunnel underneath the streets of the city. The tunnel ran for 1,700 feet from the spring to the Pool of Siloam, which was the pool in our story today. Now, the Pool of Siloam served many purposes for the people of Jerusalem. The pool supplied fresh drinking water. The pool was in the poorer section of town, in a place where the poor and the sick would come to bathe. If you were a Gentile and converted to Judaism, one of the requirements for making that conversion was baptism. The pool was one of the locations used for the baptism. In addition, during the Feast of Tabernacles, every morning for the first 7 days of the feast, a priest would take a golden vessel to the pool, fill it with water, and then bring it back to the altar amid the shouts of the people. The priest would pour the water on the west side of the altar while another priest poured a drinking offering of wine on the east side of the altar. Finally, the Pool of Siloam was also referred to as the Messiah's pool. This Pool of Siloam was the place Jesus sent the blind man to be healed of his blindness. So our lesson tells us, having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the Pool of Siloam." Again, rabbit hole. Jesus did not send anyone else to the Pool of Siloam, only this man. Why? John's gospel records 7 of the miracles or signs that Jesus did. These signs serve as purposes that our road signs show us today. As you go down the road, you'll see a sign that says stop, or a sign that says yield, or speed limit sign. Yes, those are the ones with the numbers that you're not supposed to drive over. So my wife tells me. And all those signs are there to get your attention, to tell you something you need to know. John's focus on these 7 signs because there is something about each sign God wants you to see. God wants to get your attention. God wants you to know something about Jesus, something you need to know. And this morning, our meditation will focus on what this sign is trying to tell us about Jesus Christ. First, Jesus did this sign to make a bold declaration that he was the Messiah. The Bible tells us one of the signs of the coming Messiah was that he would heal the blind. For example, in Matthew 11, John the Baptist was facing death and beginning to have doubts about his ministry. He sends messengers to Jesus asking for proof that his death will not be in vain. Jesus responds, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." First sign listed, what you hear and see. The blind receives their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Isaiah prophesied that when God brought salvation to his people, then the eyes of the people shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. It was so obvious that even the blind man could see this. He tells the Pharisees in verse 32, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind." And just in case the people did not catch the connection that Jesus was the Messiah because he heals a blind man, Jesus sends the blind man to the pool that was known as what? The Messiah's pool. Secondly, the blind man did not ask to be healed. He was just sitting there by the side of the road. Our lesson began as Jesus passed by. He saw a man blind from birth. The blind man was just sitting there, begging by the side of the road. He doesn't ask for anything. He may not even know Jesus is nearby. He may not have even heard of Jesus. But he's going to hear about Jesus now. In fact, when he's healed, this man is so excited about Jesus, the Pharisees cannot get him to stop talking. When the Pharisees discovered that this man had been healed of his blindness, why, they were furious at Jesus. Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees asked the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And we heard in our lesson, he said, "He is a prophet." The healed blind man knows the Pharisees hate Jesus. He also knows he's flirting with being thrown out of the synagogue, but he doesn't care. He's so excited about Jesus, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what they think. He doesn't care what they can do to him. As far as he's concerned, all that matters is this one thing. "Once I was blind, but now I see." We often wonder, just as a side note, we often wonder, what's our witness to people? What do we need to tell them? Here's a great example. The blind man. "You know what? Once I was blind, but now I can see." Here's what I was like before Christ. Here's what I am now. Yeah. Third, Jesus sent the blind man to the pool of Siloam to get the attention of the Pharisees. Now the blind man went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before the beggar were saying, "This is not the man who used to sit and beg." Some said it is. Others said, "No, but it's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they brought him to the Pharisees. I believe Jesus deliberately healed this man on the Sabbath. He could have healed this man on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, any day but the Sabbath. I often wonder if Jesus did miracles on the Sabbath just to annoy the Pharisees. Just how my brain works. Jesus does not like the Pharisees anyway. They are vain, self-righteous, and self-centered. The only people they seem to care about is themselves. But provoke them? By way of illustration, have you ever seen a bullfight on TV? Did you ever notice how the bullfighter takes those sharp sticks and sticks them into the bull? Why does the toreador do that? Well, part of the reason is to madden the bull, to make him angry enough to attack. And that is exactly what Jesus has been doing with the Pharisees. He has been taunting them for 3 years. Jesus is setting up these self-centered men to fulfill his prophecy, the prophecy. They are going to be the ones who will bring about his crucifixion. They are the ones who prompt the crowd to shout, crucify him, because they are so furious by the time they can hardly see straight. Their role in prophecy is critical. but they must be angry enough to do exactly what God had prophesied would happen hundreds of years earlier. Lastly, Jesus wanted the Pharisees to carefully examine the miracle. These men hated Jesus so much they would do anything to discredit him. They called the blind man two or three times and eventually even called the parents to testify. The result, there was undeniable proof that this was a legitimate miracle. But the undeniable truth did not sway these Pharisees. They still rejected Jesus. But since they couldn't directly discredit him, they justified their rejection by saying, well, we know this and we know that, and we know that this man is a sinner. Why was he a sinner? Because he healed on the Sabbath. We know that God does not listen to sinners. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as far as this man, we do not know where he comes from. In their minds, they have an excuse for not listening. They know stuff. But remember how the blind man responded. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. Now this man was blind, but the Pharisees were not. And their blindness worse than his. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Being physically blind is hard, but being blind to God is far worse. Have you ever driven down the road and not seen a stop sign or a stoplight? In the same way, there are people out there who do not see God. Like the Pharisees, he is right there in front of them, but they do not want to see him. I've heard it said, some people cannot find Jesus in the same way that a thief cannot find a policeman. They will do anything to avoid Jesus. So I must ask myself, what is this sign telling me? What am I supposed to do? The same thing the blind man did. You and I are to tell people what Jesus did for us. I know that can get hard because there are people out there that do not want to hear about Jesus. But if you know what Jesus has done for you, you will not be intimidated. You will talk about Jesus the same way you talk about anything you love. And folks will be bugged because they can't stop you from talking about it. Helen Keller was both blind and deaf. With the courage and determination, she became a very famous woman. One day, she had the privilege of being introduced to Mark Twain. Commenting on that day, she later said, I can feel the twinkle in his eye, in his handshake. You see, that is what the spiritually blind of this world need to see. What the spiritually blind need to experience. They need to feel the twinkle in our eyes. They need to feel the joy in our hearts whenever they meet us. And like the blind man, healed by Jesus, who was not afraid of intimidation, looked people straight in the eye and said, I was blind, and now I can see. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.